Good morning. The time is 9:06. Again, plenty of cloud cover early on this Wednesday morning. Clouds and 61 degrees in downtown Wausau. It is Wednesday, July the 24th of 2024. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio page, and then you can see a video stream that is going on right here in our studios. And be able to add your questions and comments as well. Also, we'd love to hear from you if you have a thought, a question, a comment, whatever it may be, something you'd like to talk about. You can either call us or text us. And again, I would suggest that the best and easiest way to do so would be by downloading the Civic Media app. Real simple. It is free. It is a wonderful piece of technology. Just search Civic Media wherever you get your apps, download it, and then once you have it, open it up. You'll see all the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. The fifth one down is Bow Falls Radio. Open it up. You'll see a button to call. You'll see a button to text. Real easy. You can have a button to email us. You have a button to go to our website. Got a button to listen to our live stream. You have a couple of other buttons for Sports 2 and Sports 3 once we get into football season, where we have multiple live games on a Friday night. So it's all there on the Civic Media app. If you have not downloaded the app, I say it, I'll say it again. What are you waiting for? So download that app, and we look forward to having you join us that way. You can listen to us wherever you may be. So again, get that Civic Media app. But if you would like to call us the old-fashioned way, just to get that rotary phone out there, actually more of a push-button phone these days, but you can either call us or text us by using the same number. This is our call and text line, 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297. So you can call us or text us by using that number, 715-382-9297, to be able to join us here on the program. And again, if you call us, you'll hear the friendly voice of Ian Welsh. He will get your information and be able to find out what you would like to talk about, and we'll get you on the air. But if you'd like to text us, use that same number. And I promise you, I'll check out the text. Sometimes I get caught up in our discussions. It's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes later. Oh, I got a text. Well, doggone it. I'm going to try to do better and make sure that I get those texts and get them out there on the air as quickly as possible. So again, call us or text us, 715-382-9297. Want to remind you that coming up tonight, special news coverage here on Bow Falls Radio and also on the Civic Media Radio Network. President Joe Biden will be delivering an Oval Office address coming up this evening. And Civic Media's news talk stations, including Bow Falls Radio, will bring you the address live tonight starting at 7 p.m. So tune in at 7 o'clock this evening for President Biden's Oval Office address explaining his decision not to seek re-election and what he plans to do in his remaining time in office. So again, if it's breaking news coverage, know that you'll get it right here on Bow Falls Radio and Civic Media. Of course, yesterday, I hope that you were with us during the course of the afternoon during Todd Alba's show. Had live sound and live coverage of Vice President Kamala Harris and her first campaign stop as the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party, and she was back here in Wisconsin. She was down in Milwaukee. We heard comments from Senator Tammy Baldwin and others, and then the vice president came and had a really energetic, rip-roaring address to a lot of supporters. Real energy, real excitement. So hopefully you were with us yesterday for that. And again, as campaign 2024 continues, when the candidates for federal office come into the state, we will have coverage, not just on the Democratic side, but on the Republican side as well, as you've seen during the course of 2024 when the former president has come into Wisconsin. We've had extensive coverage as well because it's important to get all those voices out there. We've talked about that. We want to have the voices of all sides that are either in office or running for office to allow you, the voters, to have the most information before heading to the polls. And also make sure that you circle your calendars. Coming up very soon, Wisconsin's fall primary. It's occurring in the summer, but the fall primary coming up on August the 13th, and that's just around the corner. Make a plan to be a voter in every election, including that primary, because not only do we have the primary for the 7th Congressional District, which we'll be talking about, we have those two very important state constitution questions, vital questions. And again, one reason that conservatives have put those constitutional questions on the ballot during the primary is because they think there's going to be fewer voters and they have a better opportunity to slide it through under the nose of the voters of Wisconsin. Don't let that happen. Make sure you go out and vote in the primary on August the 13th. Make that plan to be a voter between now and Tuesday, August the 13th. To learn more about who and what is on your ballot this August, where your polling place is, and how you can request an absentee ballot, head to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov to get all that information and more. I mentioned the 7th Congressional District. Tom Tiffany, Republican, currently the representative of the 7th. And we got two Democrats on the ballot yesterday. We had Kyle Kilborn join us to talk about his campaign. And coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to Elsa Duranzo, who is the second candidate. I shouldn't say the second, one of the two candidates on the ballot on the Democratic side that you'll be voting on coming up on August the 13th. Before we go any further, I need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. And Ian, he's also the guy that when our guests come in, he makes sure that they're able to get in.
The door's unlocked.
We got a door that, even when it's unlocked, it's sometimes hard to get in from the outside.
You don't pull the handle down.
No. Don't tell him. We are not sharing that kind of information. Oh, that's on a need-to-know basis.
Understood.
Exactly. But how are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, actually. It's actually a pretty nice morning. After all, I wasn't too... It actually felt nice to walk outside and actually have a little bit of a chill, because then I wasn't... Last night, I was a little hot in the bed, because I don't know if it was the weather outside, but I think my bedroom was just a little humid.
You need to open up the windows. Open up the windows. Get some of that cool air in.
I think we did have the window open a little bit.
Wide open.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You know, because I'm somebody who sweats a pretty good deal when I'm too hot.
Ian, that's also on a need-to-know basis. No, it's all good.
No, it's okay.
I know what you mean.
I really need to work on that filter. No. That's in my brain.
No, it's all good. But and again, we're continuing to follow along a couple of different pathways with you.
True.
We're following your 70th theatrical performance, but we're also following along on our number for the day quiz, because you have been a red hot. You talk about sweating and being red hot. The last few weeks, you have been red hot. A couple of weeks back, you were 4 out of 5.
That's true. I have been getting better.
You were 3 out of 5 for another winning week last week, and so far, so good this week. You're 1 out of 2, so you're still in a very good position to, first of all, get beyond the 33% that we always leave as our minimum goal. Because
yeah, it's our baseline.
It's our math, because we give you three choices.
Yes.
A, B, and C for our number for the day quiz. So based on the math, you should get 1 out of 3 correct. And when you have 5 days in a week, that means you have to get at least 2 correct in order to get over that bar. And then, of course, we want you to have more wins than losses for the week. So that's the second bar. The third bar is your all-time record, which is 4 out of 5. And then, of course, the biggest bar of all, the one that's going to be the greatest thrill, that if once we get there, who knows how long it's going to take, but if you could ever get a week where you get them all correct, that is the...
Hopefully that'll happen happen in this couple of weeks. Hopefully I can get...
That's a high bar, though. I mean, getting 5 out of 5, because the thing about it is, these questions, I mean...
are very...
they're hard. I mean, they're not... there's usually not one you'd say, oh, that's obviously the answer.
No, because random sometimes.
They are kind of random. You're exactly right. So
there was one about a chickens. There was one about lawyers.
Talked about the planet of like Earth. How far away that is, you know?
Yeah, I was way off on that case.
So there's a lot of different types of questions, and we always like to have some fun with it, but we also like to have Ian get it right, and he's been doing very, very well recently. So hopefully, I haven't even looked today to see what we have in terms of our number for the day. Sometimes we like to give a little bit of a little preview of what you can expect in terms of the topic for the number for the day. And of course, in the last segment, we also have our daily history lesson. We give you a listing of some famous events that occurred on this date in history, and also we have birthdays and some days that we acknowledge here. That's often I have no idea why, but
it's nice that we end the show on a good note, talking about the history lesson and the birthdays. It's nice to end the show on a lighter note.
And a high note, especially when you get it right, because that's always the last thing we do is the
absolutely,
last.
Absolutely, yes.
And our subject matter for today. Are you ready for our subject matter for our number for the day quiz?
Yes. Go ahead and tell me.
It is involved. The subject is blood. Blood is the topic today.
That could be a variety of
things. Yes, there could be. So I don't give you too much. I just want to give people an idea. So it does not involve Dracula, but just blood. So
you started thinking about that.
You started thinking about that. So yeah. Yep, we'll have that coming up in the final segment of the show. The time is 9:18 again. Overcast skies here in downtown Wausau, 61 degrees. Coming up in just over a minute, we'll continue our discussions. Campaign 2024. And we'll be talking to one of the two Democratic candidates for the 7th Congressional District. Tom Tiffany right now is the congressman, but a lot of folks would like to see somebody else head to Washington in 2025. And one of the people that would love to be heading to Washington in the next session of Congress is Democratic candidate Elsa Duranzo, and she's coming up next. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com and the Bow Falls Radio page, and you can see a video stream and see myself and sitting across the table from me, candidate on the Democratic side for the 7th Congressional District, Elsa Duranzo. And Elsa, thank you again for coming back in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Fantastic. And boy, I mean, we were talking to my engineer Ian earlier. It's just been just an incredibly busy time in the news, and obviously in politics as well. I guess I would ask you for your thoughts on the big change at the top of the ticket on the Democratic side, with President Biden announcing he will not seek re-election, and Vice President Harris now looking like she is the presumptive nominee for the party. Any thoughts on what's been going on with the Democratic Party nationally, and the person that you would be ultimately working for being different in 2025? We're working with, because obviously in our system we have three equal branches of government, one of which you'd like to be part of in 2025. But your overall thoughts on what you've seen from the Democrats, how they've handled this situation, and where we stand now?
Yeah, it's exciting. Honestly, there was a lot of fear, doubt before, and now it's all shifted the energy into excitement, and it is, you know, it's spreading like wildfire, and I love it. I love the new excitement. I love the redirection of, you know, everybody's attention.
Right.
You know, like, it's important. And yeah, so overall, I'm just really excited for it. And I see the excitement. I was in a parade. We were almost ready to start the parade when we got the news. And it was kind of hilarious. And yet, because people didn't know, like, do we hand out the Biden-Harris pamphlets? Like, what do we do? We didn't
right,
know.
Right.
And we decided ultimately, yes, we should. And good thing we did.
Absolutely. And I guess also, as a member, a younger member of the party, somebody is trying to be involved in elected office from a different generation, I also sense that people are ready for the next generations to be in positions of leadership. Is that what you sense as well?
I believe that, absolutely. Do I sense that? I think yes and no. It's you know, a natural thing where, you know, generations and just people in general don't mm-hmm. want to give up power. And we see it everywhere. So, yeah, I do see lots of groups of people that are ready for the new, and then still some that are just not sure.
When you look at now at your campaign, and obviously it's got to be an exciting time because we're getting closer and closer to folks actually going into the ballot box and, you know, choosing the Democratic nominee to take on Tom Tiffany. First of all, again, when did you first throw your hat in the ring? How long has this campaign been going on?
1 year. So last year, July 10th, is when I filed my Federal Election Commission paperwork.
Hard to believe. I mean, it's 54 weeks then, because 52 plus two more weeks being the 24th. Mm-hmm. What have you learned? I mean, I imagine this has been an incredible experience to travel around, to talk mm-hmm. to so many people, to put yourself out there. And mm-hmm. again, I think that's one thing that many people don't realize. It's not easy to put yourself out there, to have to talk to so many people you really don't know, to be put in positions where they're going to, you know, some people will like what you say, people will not like what you say. What have you found out over the last 54 weeks?
Just that some people will like what you say and some people won't like what you say. And it is hard, but listening and that saying, read the room, that's real. Like, you can read people's, you know, demeanors and how they're sitting, and, you know, and you have to learn how to pivot. and then the real conversations happen when you're not standing in front of the group of people.
I want to say, you know, one thing that's noticeable very quickly here is that you look and feel a lot more comfortable in a situation like this. Because I recall when you first came in, sitting in front of a microphone and being out there, I think, in a sort of a public speaking kind of way was not easy. Do you feel a lot more comfortable in that respect as well after doing this for so many weeks?
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, I know internally the turning point, but that's not something that I could share, you know. But yeah, there was definitely a turning point where I realized that, you know, I am qualified. I belong here. I deserve to have recognition for the work that I've done and for the work that I aspire to do. And with that realization came this calmness.
Talking about, again, these discussions you've had with voters, have the discussions changed in any way? Have the issues changed in any way over the past year? Or are the issues still similar to what you've been talking about and talking with people since you got into this race last July?
They've definitely changed. So something, part of my platform is bodily autonomy, but it is under the umbrella of our right to privacy. And when I first launched, it was, you know, kind of a sticky issue to be talking about, because it also segues into the issues that are happening with the rapid development of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And when I first started, I didn't know if the general public would be open to that. Are they as, you know, into it as I am? And it turns out they are. and everybody shares, for the most part, and this is across the board, you know, we are concerned. Concerned for what this means for us moving forward, what this means is for, like, surveillance, you know, and particularly the ownership of our photographs, our voices, you know, and this is something for you also, you know, as a development of AI, is it, at what point do you have or do not have ownership of your voice in this radio station? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm going to Congress. I believe that we need to put regulations and safety regulations, user agreements, and, you know, sift through all of that. And I would like us to be at the center of that conversation.
It is a vital issue, and I think you're exactly right. And I think one of the areas that has been concerning for folks that I think that are concerned about it is the lack of knowledge that is in Washington. Every time I've seen a story based on interviews with members of Congress, they don't really understand it. And that makes a lot of people nervous, because then if they don't understand it, who are they going to listen to? Probably the lobbyist. Whoever gives them the money. Hey, this is what you should be doing. And I mean,
that's why I'm running for Congress.
There's a lot of folks that really don't understand it. And I think, but it's but what you're saying, the people seem to understand a lot more maybe than some of the elected officials.
Yes, I would agree with that.
We're going to come back. We have an information update coming up. We're going to find out what's happening in news, weather, and sports. Of course, we'll start with the national and international news. Lots going on there. The president, again, will be speaking to the country at 7 o'clock. You'll be able to hear it live right here on Bow Falls Radio. We'll have Terry Bell with our Civic Media Wisconsin News update. We'll have local news and weather, Mike Clemens with sports, and then we'll come back and talk more about some of the issues as we get closer and closer to the primary with 7th District Congressional candidate, Democratic candidate Elsa Duranzo. That's coming up. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, we're talking to 7th District Democratic candidate for Congress, Elsa Duranzo. Continuing talking about the AI, because I do think it's something that needs to be talked about because it's happening so quickly. And I think that some, and I mentioned the fact that some of the elected officials may be on their heels because they're not as tech savvy maybe as others. But even if you are tech savvy, it's happening so very quickly. I guess my next question is, your ultimate plan, say you're able to win this seat and you go to Congress and you want to be a voice, a very important voice on this issue, do you have any specific ideas that you would like to push forward? Because, again, it's happening so very quickly. Even now, July 24th, by the time you would be sworn in early January, the way things are happening, it's going to be a different feel for this issue as well. But any ideas specifically on this issue?
I do, yeah. So last year, President Biden and his administration, they, you know, developed a AI Bill of Rights. And basically, it's just a suggestive piece of paper for corporations who are in the development of AI to follow. That it's, this is how you should ethically move forward, but ultimately, it's not a law, and it's just a suggestion.
The honor system.
Yes, the honor system. So I would absolutely push to have that implemented as law.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some other issues again as this campaign continues. One issue that I want to ask you that Tom Tiffany runs on all the time, and obviously should you get the nomination, you'll go up against Tom Tiffany. Whenever I've seen Tom Tiffany speak, you know, he'll talk about some generalities, be the friendly guy from the north, and all of a sudden the cloud will come over and he'll start talking about the border. And the border continues to be an issue, partially because there was a bipartisan plan that had a chance of being signed and a chance to move the football further. And again, I think in government, both sides, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, a conservative or a liberal, somewhere in the middle, the odds of getting everything you want are pretty slim. It's about moving the football, I think, closer to the goal line. And there was a chance there, and it was not put through. When Tom Tiffany inevitably starts talking about the border, what's the response that you would have as a Democratic candidate?
Oh my gosh, I stopped listening. That's my response, is I just stopped listening. But as a candidate, you know, that the issue is real for is that, you know, I've written numerous letters to our representatives to be like, you know, quit playing politics with this and finish it already. You know, bring forth what you were going to do. Do what you were said you were going to do, and then you took back just because it's an election year. I just get, you know, canned responses. But it, you know, how do you motivate a candidate who is using this issue as a means to an end to act on it before it would, you know, give him any, you know, payday, if you will, with voters. I don't know. That's a golden question.
But it's one that's going to have to be answered because, again, he is somebody that definitely wants to talk a lot about that. I guess generally, take Tom Tiffany off the board. Your thoughts on that issue? Is there, were you somebody that was, you know, in favor of the compromise that the former president appeared to put a kibosh on because he felt like, you know, he wants that issue on the table here for the fall of 2024? Was that something that you were able to support?
Yes, yes. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but no. Agreement is,
right.
You know, even when we come to our budget, you know, when we have to make concessions here and there, but that's government. That's how it's supposed to be, is to compromise a little over here to get what you need over here. And that's the way that government is supposed to work. So yeah, I was in full support of the bipartisan approach to the border.
A couple of other issues that I think folks in the 7th District are, you know, dealing with. One is health care and access to health care. And I think, you know, you've talked a bit as well about, you know, rights of especially women in our district and in our country. But generally, just the access to health care. We've seen hospitals, again, closing down. And I said this to Kyle yesterday, that here in the year 2024, we're still worried about folks in rural areas having to drive hundreds of miles to have medical care, important medical care. When you look at where we stand, and even in the last hour, I was talking to the president of the Wausau School Board, and he talked about, you know, part of the budget issues is, you know, for the employees, the health care costs. And health care continues to be, I think, just an issue that is so vexing to get to a point that it is allowing our citizens to be living longer, healthier lives, also to allow our citizens not to be paying so much money that they can be, you know, put into bankruptcy situations or still be forced to have less health care coverage than they need. Mm-hmm. When you look at the issues of health care access, health care cost, I guess your platform when it comes to health care.
Yeah, so I mean, you touched on a lot of different issues that are part of the big cloud. And, you know, it's about insurance. So I am for a single-payer insurance, universal health care. And it can be done. I was in the military. I was in the Guard. So being in the Guard and being over 150 miles away from any active duty base, I was able to choose my health care provider through TRICARE. And I paid $254 a month for up to a family of four. And it was just for myself and my son. So I still had the military TRICARE health care system, which is a single payer system, if you were to think about it. It exists. Mm-hmm. The way forward with that exists. We would just expand that program. But then you have your lobbyists and big money in D.C. So, I mean, that's then if we want to solve the one issue, we have to go to this other issue. And then you're talking about hospitals, hospital access in rural areas, not just rural Wisconsin. Now, we have a whole slew of other micro issues that go into that. Population decline, broadband access. Which goes into, if there is no broadband, then there's a population decline. People are leaving the area. And we're working on it. We're working on creating these infrastructure that would support growth going mm-hmm. into the future. And then there's childcare. So this was something that I had experienced a couple of years ago, is that a healthcare provider up north couldn't attract or bring in heart specialists because the heart specialists were of family rearing age and they had a need for childcare, but there was no regulated childcare available. So they weren't able to bring in the specialists that they needed. And I'm not sure, I still think that up north does not have those types of specialists now. So it's a health issue, mm-hmm. right?
Also, another issue that I talked about with Kyle Kilborn yesterday, it kind of hits closer to myself because recently President Biden made a proposal in terms of a rent cap. And boy, after he made this proposal, those on the right really came saying this. I mean, they came down hard on this, like, oh, how can you do this? And folks, again, I'm a renter. And over the last couple of years, and in fact, coming up here in the next, heck, I got home yesterday and I saw an envelope, and I think it is actually my next year's, and I didn't open it up yesterday yet, but the last 2 years has been very significant increases. I guess your thoughts on the president's proposal to try to cap rent increases at 5%. Obviously, if you agree or disagree, whatever it may be, there's obviously a lot of, I think, money on the other side that is going to be pushing against that. But the issue generally, and it's part of a housing issue, I know we talk a lot about home ownership, but also for the renters out there, it's been a very difficult time. I guess your thoughts on the president's proposal, first of all, and maybe the issue generally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I am for it. In fact, I think it could be expanded a little bit. So he limited or capped it to those organizations that or developers that have 500 units or more. So all I'm thinking is like the Gorman Group, who owns the Landmark, like that would affect them.
Right.
But I mean, the people in the Landmark are absolutely struggling. I have heard numerous stories from the people who are having to choose to move out and then all of a sudden have to become multifamily homes,
yeah.
You know, and that is heartbreaking. So, yeah, something needs to be done. I am absolutely for that. And there should have always been a cap. You know, maybe it should be tied to what the inflation rate is. I don't know.
And also, again, I think this issue in terms of what I've been reading about it, and I think you talked about in other issues as well, boy, the constant push against money in politics. The lobbyist and putting, you know, basically funneling campaign cash in order to get policies through. I want to ask you about, you know, the future again, where we are. Recently, we heard Elon Musk say he's going to put $45 million a month into a Trump super PAC. He backed away from it a little bit
mm-hmm,
yesterday.
Yeah.
But generally, he and others, and here in the state of Wisconsin, you have the Uline family, you have Diane Hendricks, who's ABC Incorporated. The amount of obscene money that is put into especially third party politics. Do you have any ideas or plans in terms of how to clean it up?
Overturned Citizens United. I'm for that. Turn it over. But how? Yeah. So again, how do you do that? How do you get, you know, honestly, so you were saying, like, is it time for the new generations to come in and take over? Yes, because we are all for getting this massive money out of politics. I truly believe that if we have a turnover in at least the generational representation in Congress, that massive change can come.
The how-to is always the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's that issue, we're now more than 2 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we still are saying, well, we got to get these protections
mm-hmm.
for women's reproductive rights. And it's just so difficult in our system. And I'm not asking you to fix a problem that's been there for such a long time, but man, I mean, the ability where even when there is, I would say, a significant majority of Americans that are feeling one way about an issue to make significant change, that's going to be one of the biggest challenges for anybody going into the Congress, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, it's really, as far as a congressman and congressperson representative is
right.
is concerned, it's how well can you rally people around the cause? How well can you compromise? Because with an issue like that coming in Congress, you're going to have to give a little from somewhere else. And mm-hmm. what that all entails, you know, I can't say. I mean, I have some ideas, but it's going to take creative thinking, creative approaches.
Well, we got about 90 seconds to go. And based on, you know, that kind of piggybacking on that question, an opportunity here for you to talk about what experiences or qualities that you have that make you feel like you would be successful in that kind of role, the ability to work across the aisle, to be able to get significant pieces of legislation that would aid people the 7th Congressional District pass. What are the qualities or maybe the life experiences that you have that would allow you to do that?
Yeah, so I have a long history of working with grants, federal grant programs, and the programs themselves that I have, you know, an intimate relationship with the red tape that essentially stops rural Wisconsin from receiving the, you know, the grant programs that were essentially designed for them. And every election, we then get, you know, a chance to have a new representative. And a lot of those things, a lot of those details get lost in the mix or they're never looked at again. And here we are sitting with the same old inability to access these grant dollars. That's what I will take to Congress, and that's where my experience comes in. But also, I'm a creative thinker. I'm a strategic thinker, a large systems thinker, and have a good track record with bringing in community leaders, government leaders, and nonprofits to the table to talk about how we can collectively solve these issues.
Elsa Duranzo, again, candidate on the Democratic side for the 7th Congressional District. Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
The time is 9:49. Coming up, our daily history lesson here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Glad to have, again, both candidates for the 7th Congressional District Democratic nomination with us the last 2 days, Kyle Kilborn yesterday and Elsa Duranzo today. And we have a tentative agreement that both of us shown a willingness to come back and have a joint appearance before the primary. And my plan is at this point to try to set up a time that works for both candidates and then hopefully be have them in basically for the entire program. Or have a couple of hours to talk to these candidates in a joint appearance. I don't know if you call it a debate or not. You can call it a debate. I kind of like to have it be
A conversation.
A discussion. And, yeah, a conversation about the issues in the run-up to the primary election. So we're going to try to set up the specifics because I had a chance to talk to both these candidates last 2 days and broach the idea. And they both seem positive towards it. So that would be very exciting to have both candidates for the 7th Congressional District join us. And, of course, I have an open invitation as well to Congressman Tom Tiffany to join us. I know he spends most of his time talking to Chris and Meg over on WSAU, but if he wants to come on over here and talk to me, we would be happy to have him. I know that they don't really want to have folks that don't agree with them over on their station, but if we're more than willing to have a discussion, even if we have differing opinions on some of these issues. So, right. Tom Tiffany, Congressman, again, feel free. I would love to have you on, and we would definitely give you a fair time and a fair opportunity to talk about the issues of your campaign as well. So, today is July the 24th of 2024. And what day of the year is it? I got to look this up. I usually have it right in front of me. This is day number 206 of this year. So that means 206, 160 days remaining in 2024. Some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. 1866. Tennessee became the first state to be readmitted to the Union after the Civil War. On this date, in 1969, the Apollo 11 astronauts, two of whom had become the first men to set foot on the moon, splashed down safely in the Pacific. On this date, in 1979, a Miami jury convicted Ted Bundy of first-degree murder in the slayings of Florida State University sorority sisters Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy. On this date, in 1990, Iraqi forces started massing on the Kuwait-Iraq border. On this date, in 2018, singer Demi Lovato was hospitalized after a drug overdose in Los Angeles. On this date, in 2019, 5 years ago today, special counsel Robert Mueller reported to the U.S. Senate that Donald Trump was not exonerated of obstruction of justice and that Russia did interfere in the U.S. election to benefit Trump. And on this date in 2020, longtime TV personality Regis Philbin died. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Comedian Ruth Buzzy is 88. Michael Richards, he played Kramer on Seinfeld, is 75. Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, 73 years old today. NBA Hall of Famer Karl Malone is 61 years old today. Actor Kristen Chenoweth, also a Broadway star, Wicked, Candyland, is 56 years old today. Laura Layton of Melrose Place fame, turning 56 years old today. J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, is 55 years old today. Actor Summer Glau of Firefly is 43. Also, Anna Paquin of the X-Men movies, also got an Oscar for The Piano, is 42 years old today. Actor Mara Wilson, Mrs. Doubtfire, and Matilda is 37 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Special events being acknowledged today. It is Pioneer Day. It is Amelia Earhart Day. It is Cousins Day. It is Drive-Thru Day. Tell an Old Joke Day. Tequila Day. And Thermal Engineer Day. So some special reasons to acknowledge July the 24th. And that brings us, again, to our number for the day. Yep, every day we wrap things up with our number for the day and our number for the day quiz. And we give a question to Ian Welsh. We give him three possible answers. So he should get at least one out of three correct. And we always want him to have at least 33% every week. And then we try to get him even further along the line beyond that every week. And he's been doing that. It was 80% 2 weeks ago, 60% last week, and so far this week, one out of two.
Yep.
But our number for the day is shelf life in days of donated blood. So the shelf life in days of donated blood. And, of course, always important to donate blood because it's important to save lives. But is the correct answer for the shelf life in days of donated blood 12 days, 27 days, 42 days? So, again, the number for the day, the shelf life in days of donated blood, is it 12 days? Is it 27 days? Is it 42 days?
Well, I donate blood as often as I can, but and I think they told me this one time as I was giving blood. I was just asking a question, but I think I think the answer is, I'm going to go with a B. I'm going to go with 27 days. I'm going to meet in the middle.
All right. The correct answer is number of days. Shelf life for donated blood is 42 days.
Oh, it's the longest?
It is the longest.
Well, that's a good thing, though. That's quite a few days then to keep the blood.
Every day this week. One time it was the B, one time it was A, that's one time right. It was C. And it doesn't mean that it goes that way, but it just happened to be this way that so far this week we've had A, B, and C each have one.
That's
so
okay. I can still make a comeback.
You certainly can. You're still in good shape. Just need to get one of the next two to have a winning week. So
absolutely.
Well, have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy hump day, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Thanks to Owosso School Board President Jim Boucher and 7th District Congressional Candidate Elsa Duranzo for joining us. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow. Also have North Star Knows as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 8 a.m., Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.